We continue our learning with the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shevichab Yaakov ben Petachov. So Leo, we're in Zvach in Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Nitaz min hatzavar al habeged. We continue our discussion of the blood of the Korban Chatos that spatters onto clothing. Here, it didn't come out of the kli shares onto the clothing, but rather from the tzavar, from the neck of the animal onto the beged. Says the Mishnah, ein ton kibus. There's no requirement to launder that clothing. Why not? Because the halacha is based on the pasuk which we've quoted already, v'asher yizeh midama. What's asher yizeh midama? Of that, the blood that you plan on sprinkling on the Mizbeach, if that will now spatter onto the clothing, you have to wash the clothing. Asher yizeh midama teaches us it has to be dam, blood, that's ro'i l'hazah, that's for sprinkling. So if you have blood that hasn't been received in a kli shares, it just sprinkled out, it just out of the neck of the animal onto the clothing directly, so then that's not dam, that's ro'i l'hazah, because it was never received in a kli shares. And therefore, since it can't be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it will not require the clothing to be laundered if it spatters onto the clothing. That's halacha number one. Then the Mishnah says, min hakeren umin hayesod ein aton kibus. And this we mentioned briefly in the previous Mishnah. If, let's say, the blood after it was sprinkled already onto the keren, onto the, because it's a korban chatos, so it's sprinkled onto the horns, the top of four horns on the Mizbeach. And blood from there now got onto the clothing. So it's not ro'i l'haza at that point. It was already sprinkled. Or from the yesod, from that which the leftover blood which is poured down the yesod, the little hole in the yesod, some of that now sprinkles onto the, spatters onto the clothing. Ein oton kibus, doesn't require laundering as well. Vasher yizeh means something that where the blood that you plan on sprinkling, blood that was already sprinkled, that will not require kibus on the clothing. Then the Mishnah says, nishbach al haritzba v'asafo. Let's say you have blood that was in the klisha, that fell out, came out of the neck of the animal, but now it's on the floor of the Azara. And then let's say the Kohen takes the blood and puts it in a kli shares. And now after it's in a kli shares, it spatters onto the clothing. Also, ein ton kibus. Why? Because you can't sprinkle that blood on the Mizbeach. If the blood was not received in a kli shares, but rather it fell on the floor and then you put into a kli shares, you can't sprinkle, use that for sprinkling, and therefore it will not render the clothing, this halacha will not require this laundering because it's not roi for hazah. So Mishnah Del tell me is the rule. What's the rule? Ein ton kibus el hadam shenis kabel b'kli where v'roi l'hazah. What are the rules? When do we say that if blood is on clothing, it has to be washed, has to be laundered? That's only when the blood comes from, that's when the blood is in a kli and it's fit for hazah. Now, I know this rule already. We it's pretty clear. So why does the Mishnah have to tell me, okay, this is the general rule. You want to know what where this kibus laundering is required, where the dam is from a kli, and it's roi l'hazah. So the Gemara says that this comes to include something that was not on the list already. Let's say you did receive the blood, but what happened was you received a little bit of blood, not enough that you would be able to sprinkle to do the proper hazah. You received a little bit of the blood in one kli, what we call pachos mikidei hazah, less than the amount that you need to sprinkle. And then you did the same thing in another kli, add pachos mikidei hazah, not enough in this kli, enough blood to sprinkle. But if you mix them together, now there's enough blood to sprinkle. So what you do, you actually mix them together in a kli sharis to do so. So the halacha here is that even that is not royal, that is not kadosh for the purpose of hazah. That will not work, even though now you have the requisite amount of blood. Since you started out with each one less, you had two kalim, and each kli shares had less than the amount necessary. So therefore, if that blood sprinkles spatters onto the clothing, you don't have to launder. Then the Mishnah says, nitaz al ha'or. Now we're not talking about clothing, let's say made of cotton, whatever it is, but or linen, but rather we're speaking about clothing that we're speaking about the hide, which means now the hide is clothing, but here it's still on the animal. I have a hide on an animal. Now blood's now spatters on the hide of the animal. Ad shalohufshat, before you inflate it, before you remove the skin. Ain't on kibus. Then you're not required to launder that, even if life after you separated, because the pasuk says Vasher Yizemi Dama, where the blood spatters al habeged. What's the definition of a beged? A beged is something that's raw, that's fit to be mekabel tumah. Something that when do we say that or a hide skin is able to be mekabel tumah? When it becomes a beged, it becomes something that's usable. But here it hasn't even been flayed from the animal, so that's clearly not mekabel tumah, and therefore the dam chatas that spattered on it does not require laundering. What about Misha Hufshat? What about now it's already been removed, the skin was removed from the animal, and now blood from the Karban Chatas spatters on that hide? Says the Mishnah, name Rabbi Yehuda, Ta'un Kibus. It requires laundering, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that so? It's not a leather jacket just yet. It's not a pair of shoes just yet. So the answer is because the hide that has been removed from the animal would be fit to be mekabel tumah if, let's say, the owner of that animal would have a machshava, would have the thought to use it the way it is. Let's say, I'm not going to make it into a leather jacket, into a belt. I'm going to just put this over the cover of my donkey. And that's we're gonna use it as a bedspread or something. I don't have to touch it at all. It's completely ready to go. So since he potentially could have that machshava and it would already be susceptible to tumah because it would be considered a beged, so therefore once it's removed from the animal, since it could be with the proper machshava mekabel tumah, we assume therefore if blood of a mechata spatters on it, you have to do the laundering. And the Rambam explains it's based on the fact that even though now, if you didn't tan the hide and prepare the skin properly, so it's okay. If you would, even in the state that it's in without even cutting it up into different pieces, it would have been mekabel tumah, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda believes it has the status of a beged. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af bisha hufshat, eino ta'on kibus. When it comes to a hide, even if you remove the hide from the animal and blood from a chata spatters on it, you don't have to do kibus, you don't have to launder it, because if you haven't tanned the hide with special, with salt, chemicals, etc., and you didn't have any machshava to use it the way it is, we don't say, well, you could have a machshava, and it would have been mekabel tumah, so therefore, blood, if it's bad, it has the status of a beged. No, you would have to have that machshava. Since you didn't have that thought, and you didn't prepare the hide at all, so it doesn't have the status of a beged, and therefore blood spattering on a mechatas doesn't require kibus. Then the Mishnah says, Eino toren kibus ela makom hadam. V'davar sharoi lekabel tumah v'roi lech kibus. So the first halacha is that the only area that requires kibus is the makom adam. The Gemara in Zvachim Adav Tzadi Dalid says it's based on the pasuk. It says v'asher yizemi dama ala beged, if blood that you plan on sprinkling spatters from the chatas on the beged, asher yize aleha. What's asher yize aleha? The answer that means the makom hadam, where the blood is. So you can clean that area, use whatever detergent you need to get it off, but I have to throw the whole beged into the wash. That's not necessary. That's number one. Number two, it's a davar shehu ro'i lekabel tumah. That, the Gemara explains, is just the Mishnah basically saying that we follow Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda said, once you flay the animal, you remove the skin, since if you would have a machshava to use it the way it is, it's susceptible to tumah. That is the halacha. That's what it means. A davar shehu ro'i lekabel tumah. It's fit to be mekabel tumah the way it is, if you would have the proper machshava, or if you would tan it. So even though Rabbi Eliezer says once it's been flayed, that doesn't mean anything, you have to tan, prepare the hides, etc., and only then it requires kibbutz, the Mishnah here follows Rabbi Yehuda. Laundering is required if blood of the Karban Chatas spatters on it once it's been flayed, once the skin has been removed from the animal. And then the last requirement is v'ro'i l'kibbutz. It has to be something that is fit for laundering. Let's say you have a kli that's made out of wood. So that's mekabel tumah. But you don't launder something made out of wood. So what would you do if you had blood of a chatas that spatters onto a cleats, a wooden clea, something like a mat or something like that, that it's reeds, whatever it is, you can't wash it. So what we do is we scrape off some of the wood. You scrape off pretty much whatever blood you see, you scrape it off, and that's how we remove it. You don't require laundering. Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Dalid, Echad HaBeged VeEchad HaSak VeEchad Ha'or Te'unin Kibus B'Makom Kadosh. So we said this in the past. The pasuk says, "Vashri yizem idama al beged tichabes b'makom kadosh." You have to launder it in a holy place. That refers to the azara. So whether it's a beged or sock or sackcloth, which is made of goat hair, or leather, so which we require laundering, this it must be done in the azara itself. Ushviras klei cheres. Also, b'makom kadosh. This is another halacha, and this is based on the pasuk that says uklicheres. This is connected, even though it's not the same halacha. It says asher yizem aleha dechabes b'makom kadosh. That's referring to the blood of the chatas that spatters on clothing that has to be laundered, cleaned in the azara. And then it says, and if you have klicheres, if you have earthenware vessels, asher tivushal bo, in which you cooked the karman chatas, yisha there, they must be burnt. So some of the halachos of kashering actually derive, believe it or not, from the laws of karbanos, from this halacha about the karman chatas. The karman chatas is as we said, can be eaten in any way you like. So you could cook it, you could roast it, whatever. Okay, so the Kohen took the meat from the chatas, and he cooked it in a kli, and he cooked it in an earthenware vessel. Now, earthenware vessel, as we may know from kashering, cannot be kashered. There's a general rule, principle that says, HaTorah hi'ida, the Torah testifies al klei cheres, that on earthenware vessels, she'eno yotzei midei daf yola olam, it can never be completely purged of that which been is absorbed into it. As opposed to, let's say, metal kalim, which we know we can kasher through hagalah, through purging, through boiling hot water. So you cannot do that with earthenware vessels, because at the end of the day, you can be so afraid by using it with such hot water, or using it with fire, whatever it may be, the whole thing is going to break. So earthenware vessels, the only way to get rid of, to kasher it really, is to break it. And that's what the Torah says. You shall very have to break it, as opposed to if you have metal kalim, the Torah speaks about klina choshes. So what does the Torah say? It says in b'klina choshes bushala, if the karman chatas was cooked, this is all in Vayikra Vav, if the karman chatas was cooked in a kli nechoshes, a copper vessel, which is just a general term for a metal vessel, what do you do? Umorak vishutaf b'mayim. What do? You do what we call hagalah. Morak, merika, means that you boil it, you purge it with boiling hot water, which is the way you cooked it to begin with. The famous principle which we've had in the past is kibolo kach polto. The way something is absorbed, the taste that's absorbed into a kli, the walls of a kli, that's the way you purge it. So if it's used with boiling hot water, making soup on the stove, it's boiling hot water. So how do you kasher that pot? With boiling hot water. How do you kasher something that's used on the grill? You kasher it with fire. If it's ba'esh, so it's tavir ba'esh. So here, this was cooked. So therefore, how do you kasher it? How do you purge it? With marika, with boiling hot water. And then you also rinse it off, shatifa, with cold water afterwards. So here the Mishnah is telling us, Ushviras klei cheres, regarding the breaking of the klei cheres from that which had been absorbed into the walls. You took out the karman chatas, the kohen, the zichekuna, the male kohen, and ate from it. And now you have this pot, and you cleaned it out completely, but it still has the taste of the karman chatas absorbed into the wall. Now that's problematic. Why? Because after the night, once the night is over, karman chatas is eaten for a day and a night. So once the night is over, it becomes noser. And noser is not only on the leftover meat, noser is on that which was absorbed into the wall. So what am I going to do if it's a kli cheres? It has to be broken. Where is that broken? That's the chiddush of the Mishnah here. B'makom kadosh, in the Azara as well, because that pasuk of kli cheres, the earthenware vessel, you have to break if it's absorbed, when it's after it's absorbed the taste of the karman chatos, and eventually it's become nosar after the night. That follows the phrase b'makom kadosh regarding the clothing that has to be laundered when blood of the karman chatos spatter upon it. And then the Mishnah says, not only the breaking of the klei cheres, but umarika ushetifa b'klei nechoshes, regarding the purging and the rinsing of metal kalim from the karban chatas that's been absorbed. If you use a metal kli, let's say, to cook the karban chatas, so that you don't have to break that. That you can reuse, but you have to kasher it. So you kasher it with boiling hot water and rinsing it off. That has to be done b'makom kadosh. Since the previous pasuk says, t'chabes b'makom kadosh, So the shvira, the breaking of the kli cheres, and the merikul shtifa of the klei nechoshes, and the purging and the rinsing of the copper, the metal klim, are compared to the laundering. And therefore, everything has to be done b'malkom kadosh in the azara itself. And then the Mishnah concludes with somewhat of an ambiguous statement. Zeh chomer bechatas mikotchei kotchim. This is a chomer, this is a stringency that the carbon chatas has over other kotchei kotchim. Other kotchei kotchim, asham, ola, and the like. So what does that mean? What chumra are we talking about? So Rashi the Bar Tanura say that this is referring to the kibbutz only, which means the halacha that you have to launder the clothing that has blood from the karban chatas that spatters upon it only applies to the blood of a karban chatas and not the blood of other karbanos, even if they're kachay kachim. So if you have the blood of a karban asham that spatters on clothing, there's no obligation to launder the clothing. But, say these Rishonim, if the halacha of breaking the klei cheres or the purging of klei nechoshes, that is halacha that applies to all kachim. All karbanos have some point where they're going to become nosar, and therefore some point where the kli is going to have a flavor of something that's not kosher absorbed into it. May have started out as kosher, what we call the hetera bala. It started out, it absorbed a taste that was permitted, but then eventually becomes usur. A little bit different than when something absorbs treif, where it starts out as something usur. But nonetheless, the halachos may be a little bit of a distinction between them, but at the end of the day, at some point, all karbanos become nosar, and therefore the halacha of breaking a kli chera and Marika Shtifa by Kalina Khoshes by Ben El Kalim applies to all karbanos. And others say no. When it says Zechomer Bechatz Mikotche Kotchim, this is not only going on the laundering of the beged when blood spatters upon it, but it also applies to chatas, but it also applies to the breaking of a klei cheres, which means that which we said, that the breaking of a klei cheres, when it has absorbed the flavor of the carbon chatas, that applies not only to the halacha only applies to the carbon chatas and not to other carbonos. So does anything apply to other carbonos? Yes, even these rishonim will hold that the din of merika ushtifa, the fact that we have to purge and rinse off metal kalim, that applies certainly to all kachim and not only to carbon chatas.